Ding ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Dave DeFore here with Mo DeKeel for your Tuesday morning update. Before we get started, don't forget, if you haven't already subscribed, you can get this podcast advertising free by going to theathletic.com/NBA show and signing up. Go and do it. Support the show. Let them know that you love us and you listen to us every day. That's theathletic.com/NBA show. A lot of stuff to get to, so we're going to jump right in. And unfortunately, Mo, we got to start with some bad news from Utah. Utah Jazz forward Joe Ingles got an MRI today after injuring his knee Sunday night in the game against Minnesota that the Jazz lost by 20. And they did not get great news. It looked awful in the game when it happened. And Mo, torn ACL, bad news, obviously, for Joe Ingles. This is awful. But bad for Utah, too, because they're struggling right now without Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And now they've lost another guy who's super vital to what they do.
I mean, it's a huge blow for them, just in the sense of, you know, you lose another wing player already. Probably, listen, the Jazz aren't good defending on the wing at all, but like, he wasn't their worst. You know, he could have done worse than having Joe Ingles out there, and just everything that he provided for the Jazz, keeping the offense going, a solid connector for them. I mean, it's just a big blow. There's no way you can make up for losing Joe Ingles in the situation that the Jazz are in already. You know, just adding that name to the list of names that are piling up that have been out for games is really going to just crush the Jazz that have lost 11 out of their last 13.
Yeah, and we're inside of 2 weeks till the trade deadline, actually 9 days left. And Joe Ingles is an expiring contract, and you hate to go there, but that's part of the game. And he was a guy that might have been on the block for them. He could be useful for other teams and is a little bit superfluous for what they have going on, since they have Bogdanovich and they have Rudy Gay. And you thought maybe he might be a piece that they could flip given the value of that expiring deal. Now, he may still have some value in the market, Mo, but probably not as much since he's not going to help you.
Well, I think really any team that was going to trade for him, knowing that he was an expiring deal, was going to be trading for the other asset they were going to get, which would have been a first round pick. I don't think it was the idea of like, we're getting Joe Ingles, where it's going to be great. It was Joe Ingles and something. And it's a something that they wanted. It was just Ingles helping to make the money work for whatever that they might be getting. So I think I wouldn't rule it out at all. Does it suck that he's for the team trading for him? It does suck that, you know, he's not going to be playing for us. It might be a tough situation for them, but I don't think he'll kill the Jazz too much. And if they wanted to make a move
in Philadelphia, Tyrese Maxey was absolutely absurd with Joel Embiid out of the lineup, and he led the Sixers over the red hot Memphis Grizzlies 122-119 in overtime. He had 33 points in this game, Mo. And look, I've seen a lot of Tyrese Maxey, as you have. I don't know that I've seen him better than he was in this game tonight.
This was one of his best games of the season. I mean, he went stride for stride with Ja Morant, who, you know, he's going to start getting some buzz for MVP. Like, that's not Maxey, folks. Morant, everybody relax. But, you know, that's the type of stuff right there. Like, he really did kind of show out. And with no Joel Embiid, this was a huge win for Philly. You know, and Maxey kind of playing to that level really kind of puts the Sixers feeling very confident. You know, this is the type of confidence that they had where, hey, we don't have to rush a Ben Simmons trade. You know, we're not in that instance where we got to take some, you know, just take whatever we can in this instance, in this scenario. Maxey's balling out. He's playing really well. This is one of the better Tobias Harris games that they got that we haven't seen in a while. 31 points from him. You know, Andre Drummond, 16 points, and Dave, 23 rebounds, like a monster rebound night for Drummond. I mean, I just think like this was one. Philly has lost a lot of bad games throughout the season, and this was a great win for them without Joel Embiid. Like, I was really impressed watching them, even when it was beginning to slip away. I thought, oh, wow, they really might have blown this one to come away with a victory. Big win for them.
Yeah, you mentioned Tobias Harris, 31 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. I thought he was very forceful in the pick and roll and took advantage when he got a smaller guy on him, which is what we always scream for with Tobias Harris. Drummond, 16, 23 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. A fantastic game from him. And I actually thought that the physicality from Drummond and Bassey and even Georges Niang coming off the bench. I thought that that was one of the big differences in the game. Memphis has a tendency to bully teams with Jaren Jackson and Steven Adams inside. And, I mean, if you look at this game, man, it's not very often that you have a team that hangs in there on the offensive glass with Memphis the way that Philly did. It was 15-14. Memphis, of course, is going to win that battle every time. But I think that for a Doc Rivers coach team especially to come away with that many offensive rebounds against a team like Memphis, I think that's a big sign. Now, for Memphis, look, Ja Morant is Ja Morant. He's a superstar. He's in the MVP conversation as far as I'm concerned, Mo, rightfully so. They're not in overtime if he doesn't make a ridiculous twisting layup that wound up being an and one, and it was kind of a weak foul call, but he misses the free throw. Seth Curry dribbles the ball down, kind of out of control, and he did, maybe there was some contact there on that Seth Curry shot, but when you're out of control like that, you're not getting that call unless you're a superstar. And let's be honest, I'd rather just see overtime. Now, funny thing happened on the way to overtime, Mo. You could hear it if you were watching League Pass on the PA system, but Doc Rivers receives a technical foul between the end of regulation and overtime. So the Sixers actually started down 1 point in overtime, which I know, look, we don't root for outcomes, but it would have been absolutely hilarious if they had lost this game by one, right?
It would have been brutal. It would have been brutal for Sixers fans. But yo, Doc Rivers can't get a technical in that instance. You know, and here's the thing. The referees walked away. The referees were like, okay, he's upset. I didn't think it was much of a foul call. I wouldn't have called the foul if I was the official either. And, you know, like, they let Doc say his piece. They let him go off, and they walked away. He just kept going and going. Like, what are you doing? Why are you putting your team in a tough, putting them down one already going into overtime? And it looked scary at the early parts of overtime that, hey, man, the Sixers are about to lose this game. And I mean, just not a smart play from Doc.
Yeah, well, lucky for the Sixers, they had Tyrese Maxey. He hits a go-ahead layup with about 26 seconds left, and then they force a turnover, and he hits a layup at the buzzer, and that's the final score, 122-119. Really fun game. I really do love this Philly team. They're scrappy.
They're a fun team. No, you love this Philly team because of Danny Green. Let's just be honest. But they're a really fun team. In a game like tonight, it was just pretty impressive to watch them because you would have just thought, hey, no Joel Embiid. We know what they are when they don't have Joel Embiid. They're probably not going to have enough scoring. They're probably going to lose this game. And for them to hang in and led most of the way in this game, starting out from the beginning, you know, it's pretty surprising, the result. You know, got to be happy if you're a Philly fan.
In Atlanta, the Raptors beat the Hawks 106-100. No Trae Young in this game. He was a late scratch. And Mo, look, this is kind of the focal point of their offense, right? Like, it's Trae Young dribbles up, and he either makes a pass or he takes a deep shot right away, right? That's their offense. And I just wasn't sure what to expect from this team without Trae Young, and it wasn't great. Toronto can really defend, and when Gary Trent is dropping 30, they're hard to stop.
Gary Trent was literally on fire. This was like NBA Jam stuff. After he hit his first couple threes, you could just hear the announcers go, "He's on fire." It was unbelievable. 9 of 15 from three. He was awesome. But the way you talked about the Raptors is right on. This is a very switchable team, very long, a lot of length. They cause a lot of problems for teams. And this is a group that just came off of a triple overtime game on Saturday night to come out here. You know, you're tired at this point. They only played eight guys that game. The majority of their starters played around 55, 56 minutes that night. To come out here and get this win in a big game, and I know it might sound silly, a big game in early February, but with the play-in game and everything you got going, you need to win these games. This is a standings game. Atlanta's trying to chase you. If Atlanta wins this game, you guys end up tied in the standings. It puts yourself a little bit closer to the fire there. So this was a big, big important game for both teams, and the Raptors just made the right decisions. And then, Dave, I just got to say, DeAndre Hunter makes a bad decision and leaves OG Anunoby. When they're down one, Fred VanVleet gets into the lane. Yo, let him try to finish on Okongwu. Okay, but, you know, Hunter drives into the lane. He kicks it out to OG Anunoby. He drills a three. It's a 4-point game. He went from it being a possible one possession game to now a definite 2-possession game. You're in a tough situation if you're Atlanta.
Yeah, you can't help off the shooter one pass away, especially when it's a three. Gary Trent has scored 30 points now in 4 straight games. He hit 3 threes in the closing minutes of the third quarter and a buzzer beater there. And Pascal Siakam chips in 23 to finish off January with the strongest month that he's had in a while, Mo. Look, Pascal, I'm not going to say he's back, but he certainly looks a lot more like the player we thought he was 2 seasons ago than the guy he's looked like the last couple of years.
Oh, I'm probably the wrong guy to say this to, Dave. I've never been a big Pascal fan. No, but he looks a lot better than what we saw last season. I throw out last season for Toronto. It's not fair to judge those guys with everything they had to deal with being in Tampa on top of COVID and everything that went with it. So I kind of just, they all get a do-over. So I'm just going to erase that out of my mind last year, you know, but it is nice to see Pascal getting going, finding his rhythm. I still think he's got a ways to go to be the man, but still awesome performance just from the Raptors in general, you know, and I'm impressed with them for how the season started, for them to be climbing the way they are in the standings.
And the late game on an early night for us, Mo, the Golden State Warriors beat the Rockets 122-108. And this was actually a closer game than the final score would tell you. The Rockets kept fighting back. Really have to tip your cap to them. For a young team that's not very good, they fought really hard. They did not back down. And it took 40 points from Steph Curry to put him away. 7 of 14 from 3, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 9 assists. And look, this looked like the Steph Curry that we've been used to seeing, not the guy that we watched all of January shooting bricks. He looked confident, Mo. And when he was on the ball, he was looking for his shot, and it was dropping.
He was aggressive. I mean, it took a 20-point fourth quarter from him to really kind of pull away from Houston. Listen, when Curry's shooting like this, that's a different Warriors team out there. And it's a lot of fun watching Steph like that. It's those fun nights. It wasn't fully there yet, but starting to see those flashes, Dave. I think he's getting out of that slump. Or, you know, I mean, it's funny. The slump for him is shooting like 38% from three. That's really unfair to all the other guys in the league. But he's beginning to get his flow and his rhythm again. I think it's a good sign for the Warriors and the Warriors fans as, you know, they're continuing to roll on and win, you know, their 6th straight.
Also, Kevin Porter Jr., I mean, he made a classic blunder. He trash-talked a slumping superstar, and not just any superstar, the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA. And needless to say, Steph turned it up a bit in the fourth quarter. I mean, he was pissed, and I love to see that. This is what we need more of from Steph, I think. He's a little bit too passive. We need to see more aggressive Steph.
Yeah, no, Kevin Porter Jr. No, don't do this. He's playing right the way you want him. You don't need to do this. Why are you doing this yourself and making it harder for your team? I think that's just a mistake there. And, you know, listen, Steph's going to get going. I'm not worried about Steph's aggression and things like that. I think it's just finding the flow. And once, you know, I'm sure he got a little ticked off and that was a little extra motivation there for tonight. But, you know, just, Kevin, no, please don't do this.
Or do, because I like to see Steph Curry mad. That's going to do it for the show, folks. Don't forget, we got tampering coming up next right here on the Athletic NBA Show, so stay tuned for that. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Mo, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.